Hey guys, Lexi here, travel enthusiast, lover of puns, pizza and wine connoisseur, and founder of the PR Bar Inc., and you're tuning in to the Pitchin' and Sippin' podcast. From behind-the-scenes interviews with the media, to honest conversations with other PR pros, to a look at inspiring brands and entrepreneurs that are rocking the world of PR, in this podcast, we talk tips while taking sips and talking about all the things that make those in the world of PR tick. Let's get started. Today's guest is a Los Angeles-based writer and editor with over 10 years of experience in digital publishing. Megan Beecham is currently the managing editor at the modern career platform Create and Cultivate. Previously the managing editor at My Domain, a leading women's lifestyle site, her work has also appeared in a number of notable publications, including House Beautiful, Hunker, Bustle, Who What Wear, and Brit & Co., among others. Megan's stories span from home decor to food to travel, career, finance, and entertainment. In the episode to follow, we learn all about Megan's career, which started in undergrad, where she received a BA in English from UCLA. We dive into the world of editorial calendars, producing from a place of service, and she walks us through her personal pitching preferences. We wrap things up by shouting out a few local watering holes that I know have officially been added to my must-try list. All right, without further ado, let's get started. Megan, I could not be more excited to officially welcome you onto the show today. Huge fan of your work, and I can't wait to dive into your career. But first, I would love to get to know a bit more about who you are offline. So, favorite hobbies, weekend pastimes, dog mom, human mom, really whatever's coming to mind as I'm rambling on here.
Sure. Yes, I know. It's so funny to try and separate yourself from, you know, outside of your work these days with this work from home life. But yeah, after work, I'm a big sports fan. I'm usually watching an NBA game. My team is the Lakers. I'm based in LA and in Southern California for my whole life. So grew up a Lakers fan, always tuning into their games, and a big UCLA fan as well. So that's usually kind of how I spend a lot of my after work time, tuning into games, but also, you know, I love to hike and I love to read, try to wind down most nights by reading a book, just really calming. And just, you know, I try to get off of digital mediums in those after hours, just since our lives, especially during the pandemic and COVID and work from home life, we're just so connected digitally that it's nice to get away from that.
So I have to say the Lakers is a sore spot in my household because my husband's from Southern California. He's from the Thousand Oaks area. Huge Lakers fan. I am from Portland, and so thus I am a Blazers fan. However, I came home a few months ago to my dog wearing a bright yellow Lakers bandana that now my husband refuses to take off. And anytime I'm FaceTiming home, everyone calls me a traitor, and it's kind of a joke.
No, it's a good time to be a Blazer fan, though. Like, I am a big fan of Dame Lillard. He's such a great player and on and off the court. Love following him. And so good time to be a Blazer fan, too.
And I've come a long way because I'm married to such a diehard Laker fan. So anyways, I laugh anytime.
Well, we will welcome you with open arms when you want to change allegiances.
dipping my toes. And then reader. I'm a huge reader as well. I'm curious what type of books, any genres in specific?
Yeah, I tend to stick to fiction. Kind of went on like a short story kick earlier this year and read How to Pronounce Knife and Refugees. Yeah, short stories were like just something I gravitated toward. It's so easy to grab, you know, a copy of one of a short story collection at the end of the day after work and just read one and kind of feel like you accomplished, got something done, and you're winding down for the day, and instead of kind of tackling a larger novel.
So I wrote those down. I'm a big fiction at night fan, and I'm a part of quite a few female entrepreneur communities, and everyone's always exchanging business books. But for me, I need fiction at night so I can detach from work, or I'm just going to be thinking work all night. So I feel you there. So speaking of business, let's talk career. So we're gonna begin by rewinding. So take us back to UCLA, you're graduating, what happened, and then walk us through where you are today.
It's so funny. So I actually went into UCLA as a biochemistry major.
Whoa.
I know. It's so funny. It changed relatively quickly. It was kind of after that first quarter of classes when I was looking at the course catalog and signing up for my second quarter of classes that I kept getting distracted by all of the offerings in other departments, particularly the English department. And I was like, oh, how great would it be to take this class? This class sounds incredible. And I just kind of realized, you know what? I can't take those classes. I just need to pivot what I'm doing and rethink. So I made an appointment with my academic counselor, went in, changed my major like right then and there with her to English and started pursuing that path. I also applied and was accepted onto the Daily Bruin, which is UCLA's daily student-run newspaper. So that was kind of my crash course in journalism. Since UCLA doesn't have a formal program, the Daily Bruin is kind of the unofficial journalism program at the school. So learned so much there about journalism and writing. And then, through English major program, just constantly reading and writing there as well. And it was through UCLA's job boards that I found the internship that I had that led to my first job. So kind of UCLA was a big part of my career path.
Okay, so left brain and right brain, let's just highlight that from biochem to English. Quite the pivot.
Yes, it was. I know I had like every intention of pursuing a career in the medical field and just, realized my passions really did lie with reading and writing and storytelling and just really wanted to pursue that professionally instead.
Okay, so what was the internship, and then what was the first post-grad job?
Yeah, so the internship was, it was an editorial internship at a website called eHow. And it's a how-to website really built on SEO, really. It was kind of founded to kind of answer all the questions that anybody had. You'd type into Google and it would typically be one of those first couple of results. And then worked there and learned a lot about digital media. It was really where I learned terms like SEO, CMS, tapping into data and insights from like Google Analytics and social, like really learning how all of that is connected and, put to use in digital media. So got my start there. I interned there for 2 quarters, actually. So I did one internship and then found a way to kind of do another one there and learned so much and just really loved it and got a job offer when I graduated and, happily accepted. I loved, all the people I worked with there and met and really got to know people across a bunch of different departments, which was a huge credit to my internship manager there. She really made sure that I got time, face time with a bunch of people in product and SEO and marketing, sales, all across all the different departments, and really understood how the site runs and how all these departments are so interconnected because it's just, you really got to work across teams in the digital world.
Huge internship fan. I attribute a lot of my start to my career to having those opportunities. And regularly, the members of the media that I bring on the show talk about some form of internship really kind of being the launch pad to their career. So you're working at eHow. Did you go from eHow to where you are today? Was there anything in between?
Oh, yes. So I went from eHow to My Domain. So I applied for the managing editor position at My Domain and got that job there, which was just, a dream job. I loved the content coming out of Click. At the time, My Domain was owned by Click, which also has Who What Wear and had Birdie in their portfolio too for a while. So, like a leading women's media brand, and was just so excited to work there. Loved my time there. Worked across My Domain, so they're like home lifestyle site, and also covered, a wide range of topics from food, home, and then also touching on career and finance topics as well, which I always loved working on those pieces. And that kind of led me into being the managing editor at Create and Cultivate, where career and finance is really kind of at the heart of what we do.
Okay, so I love Create and Cultivate. I know many of my listeners do as well, but for those who are not familiar with the platform, can you give kind of a quick overview on what Create and Cultivate is?
Yeah. So Create and Cultivate is a modern career platform. We have online and offline events and conferences, you know, once it's safe to do those in-person events again, but we have digital events, and there's the Work Party podcast as well. And the Create and Cultivate site is also a great resource for anybody who wants to build their small business or build their career or, you know, manage your finances. That's kind of a quick overview of all things Create and Cultivate.
So your title is managing editor. What exactly does that mean, or what does that entail at Create and Cultivate?
Yeah, I know. As managing editor, I really get to touch a bunch of different facets of the brand and kind of all the multimedia that we do. So really in charge of driving the editorial vision for the site and the blog, but also writing scripts for our Work Party podcast and developing questions for our digital and offline events. So really no 2 days are the same.
No 2 days are the same. Fair enough. And how large is the team at Create and Cultivate?
Oh yes. There are about 15 of us right now, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. So we're a small but mighty team.
Small but mighty. So yeah, you're going to have to wear a lot of hats and have your hand in a lot of different elements. Are you guys, I guess COVID, we're all virtual, but based in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes. Our office is in downtown LA. We're all working from home.
So your interests span from home decor to food to travel to career and finance, as you've mentioned. I'm just curious, with so many different interests as a journalist, how do you go about deciding what to write about or what to publish or what to create?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's such a good question. I know my interests are kind of teasingly diverse, right? But I think at the heart of all the things that I do, I really want to be of service. I really hope that people, you know, read the pieces I write or the pieces I edit and commissioned and just take something away, whether it's a tip that's going to help you in your career or a book recommendation that, you know, changes your perspective a little bit. Yeah, just always service is really at the heart of what I want to do. Really want to help people, even in just small little ways of improving your life or changing your perspective a little bit. Or yeah, just service is really at the heart of all of it.
I love that. And you were an editor at My Domain as well. Was your job there similar to that of now with Create and Cultivate? Or while those titles were similar, were the duties kind of different because of the, you know, back end or behind the scenes of both outlets?
No, that's a great question. Yes. No, my role at My Domain was a bit different. Yeah, despite the titles being the same, every role, every company is a little different and your responsibilities can change. Like, but at My Domain, yeah, I was responsible for overseeing our editorial calendar and managing. We were a bi-coastal team in New York and LA, and really managing the calendar and working with the team on adhering to really strict deadlines and tight deadlines, and working across teams too with our design department and trying to help streamline processes and, you know, iron out anything that could be improved and how we all communicated and worked with one another and just, you know, keeping everybody on task on those deadlines. And then I would write a lot myself too and had my own deadlines for my own pieces and worked with our editorial director too on driving the site strategy, creating those franchises and temples and executing on those as well. So a lot of my role there was, yeah, helping manage and support the team. And so at Create and Cultivate, our team is a bit smaller. So a lot of it is a bit more focused on the driving of strategy and implementing strategy, creating those franchises and temples and creating that content. And then it's much more multimedia too at Create and Cultivate because we have the Work Party pod and we have events. So it's really interesting to kind of work across all those different things. It's kind of funny, like as a journalist, a lot of what you do is asking questions. So it's kind of a natural transition into kind of creating those scripts and things for events. But a lot of it too is a bit of marketing copy in a way, like creating copy for landing pages to, you know, support our events. So yeah, it's been really great. It's really allowed me to stretch my skills as a writer and editor and kind of get into these different areas of media and journalism.
I can imagine. Hey guys, Lexi here, interrupting the show really quick to drop a note. Did you know that in a study produced by Nielsen, it was reported that PR is almost 90% more effective than advertising? Well, It is. I swear, Google it. So if you've been enjoying learning about all things Pitchin' and Sippin', I wanted to give you an official invite to visit my website, theprbarinc.com, spelled theprbarinc.com, to learn even more about how you might be able to work with yours truly to increase your influence, impact, and revenue with PR. If you're not sure where to start on the site, consider booking a free consultation. All right, I'm done. Back to the show. You said a word that I want to pull out, ask you to give us a quick definition and then talk about it. And that's editorial calendar. It's actually not something we've really talked about on this podcast as of yet. So for those unfamiliar, can you give kind of a quick, you know, doesn't need to be hyper technical, but what is an editorial calendar and how does an outlet use it?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So an editorial calendar really breaks down the kind of themes and tent poles that you want to touch on, typically by month. You can kind of map out your year from, you know, January to December, touching on the different seasons. And, you know, this is too where a lot of kind of the data side of things comes into play a bit, and just looking at, you know, maybe trending for your brand or your site in a particular area of the year and really leaning into it and kind of developing franchises around those topics. So franchise is kind of like a series. One that we have on Creating Cultivate, for example, is Money Matters, where founders and CEOs kind of speak to how they built their business, you know, on the financial side, you know, who helped you set up the finances of your business? How did you fund your company? Kind of digging into those questions. But that kind of is a little tangent from your question about an editorial calendar. But yeah, just kind of maps out the themes and tent poles for the year, considering, you know, seasonal elements, things that might be timely, and leaving room too for things that are just trending naturally, right? So like Bitcoin was a huge topic recently, and cryptocurrency with everything that, you know, Tesla and Elon Musk and everything was doing. So leaving room for pieces like that in your calendar too. So not keeping it too rigid, but having a plan.
Yeah. So from the outside, right? Whether that be founders or publicists or, I don't know, anyone off the street, how can you, or do you have any tips or advice on how the outside looking in, you can look at a given outlet's editorial calendar and use it to your advantage in the sense of maybe pitching for placement?
Yeah, I would say a main thing there is timing, I would say, because we do kind of map out these editorial calendars in advance. So if it's already April and you want to pitch something around, say, Earth Day, it might kind of be a little late. People in the editorial world are trying to think, even though it is digital, it's fast paced. And, you know, there's always a way to squeeze in something if it's, you know, really stellar or really important. But I would say pitching like 2 months ahead is safe, a month or two ahead of like a particular event or season can really help you get a jump on it and get on people's radar.
That's gold, because it's probably one of the most common questions I get asked. I mean, the topic of timing is a big one, right? So would you say that 1 to 2 month ahead timeline has been consistent throughout the various different outlets you've worked for? Is that more unique to kind of how you operate at CNC?
I would say it's relatively standard. Working that far ahead just gives you some flexibility when those timely topics, say you want to do a piece on cryptocurrency because it's like in the headlines, but being a month or two ahead on like your core content really allows you the flexibility to squeeze in some of that more timely stuff. So that's definitely like the gold standard, I would say, is being a month or two ahead in digital, because it's hard to get to. It's hard to get to that place to work out so far ahead.
Yeah. So is there too early? What if someone's pitching 3 months out? Is that kind of a no-go, just as pitching too late might be?
You know, that's a good question. I suppose it depends on the editor's personal preference, but I would say 3 might be a little too far out. It might be something that you would think, you know, this isn't quite on our radar yet. Reach back out in maybe a month or so. I'm always a big fan of the follow-up, like a kind reminder, since inboxes do tend to get so full and, you know, we're receiving so many pitches as editors. So always a follow-up is great. So I would say I wouldn't discourage anybody from getting ahead. I'm always a proponent of working ahead, but 3 months might be a tad far out, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to end the show with asking you some of your preferences. But before we go into that, I'm curious, and I know everyone listening has been like, Lexi, ask this question. So can brands pitch, create, and cultivate? I have two questions here. Can they pitch your guys's company for a potential feature, and or can they pitch for bylines?
That's a great question. We do take contributed pieces, but it all comes back to service, right? It would really have to be of service to the reader. And we do have like sponsored opportunities for brands. So a lot of times things would kind of fall under that umbrella, but we do a lot editorially as well with op-ed pieces or founder interviews. So I'd say, yeah, just making sure that you're pitching your founders, your clients, all of that. But there are definitely kind of two paths, right? It's either sponsored or editorial. So, and it can be a fine line. I would say pitch. I mean,
Okay, well let's talk about that fine line. How do people get on your editorial radar?
I know it's like definitely a mix. Like we really are looking for founders who do want to answer those questions about money. I kind of brought up our Money Matters franchise earlier. And we also have another franchise from scratch where founders really share how they built their businesses, how they got PR and marketing for it. And so spotlighting these founders really helps gives our audience a sense of what people have done in the past, how you could follow in their footsteps or even learn from their mistakes. So people who are really willing to open up and share those details and not shy away from talking about maybe some of the things that you got wrong, and you want to help people learn from your mistakes or pay it forward and offer your advice.
I keep hinting at asking preference questions because something that I believe in full-heartedly is that every single person is different, meaning we all have different preferences, right? And I could make a blanket statement like editors like insert, but at the end of the day, you are you, right? Megan is Megan. You like something different than someone else. So this is just preference. It's kind of rapid fire. So whatever comes to mind, there's no right or wrong. Ready? Do you prefer a certain day of the week to be pitched?
I would say yes, I do. Earlier in the week is preferred, I'd say, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I would also ask that people be patient. I probably won't get back to you until later in the week. If you do send it on Monday, I might get back to you on a Wednesday or a Thursday. But I do prefer to like field those and get them, in my brain earlier in the week so that I have some time to think about it. But yeah, I would say my preference is earlier in the week.
Earlier in the week, what about time of day? Does that matter?
Oh, yes, mornings. I'm trying to, in this like separation of work-life balance and just limiting my time, of being available to communicate with people, just because I need time also to, work out that editorial strategy and do work. I tend to check emails like once in the morning, once maybe at lunch, and then at the end of the day. So I try and just limit it to like 20-minute increments to kind of be like an hour of my day in my inbox. Otherwise, I mean, I could be there all day.
Boundaries. It's a real thing. And actually, I think it's helpful for everyone to hear that the person at the other end of the inbox also should have boundaries, right? It's a two-way street. We're all people here. So you talked briefly about follow-ups, but I'm going to ask you to expand a little bit more. How many follow-ups? How quickly, should someone follow up? Just general feelings on that topic.
Yeah, I'm definitely pro follow-up. Love a kind reminder. My inbox can get full, so I appreciate it when people do follow up, but I'd say maybe limit it to two or three follow-ups. I do try to respond to most emails that I get, especially to my work email. I get flooded with my personal email with pitches as well, but I do try to get back to most people who email me professionally and, at my CNC email, but I don't get to them all. It's just a high volume, but I'd say two to three follow-ups and maybe leave it at that.
Do you prefer your personal email or your CNC email, or does it depend?
Definitely my CNC email. Often if I get pitches to my personal email that I want to pursue, I'll forward it to my work email and reply to people from there. It's just the easiest place to reach me. I don't usually have my personal email open on my like work computer when I'm working, and I try to keep my phone in a different room as well because it can just be so distracting. So if you email my personal email, I probably won't get back to you for a couple of days if I do get back to you. But my work email is a much better bet.
Do you prefer to be pitched via email? Second question to that, how do you feel about people pitching off of email on social media sites?
I definitely prefer email pitches. Yes, 100%. It's just an easier way for me to manage my thoughts and, work-wise, going through my email inbox. I use Asana to like kind of convert ideas and pitches and things from email into the editorial calendar of what's going to happen. So email is definitely preferred. Instagram is kind of my social media of choice. And like I said before, I'm just trying to limit my time on digital after hours. So I tend to not dive too deep into DMs and things. And if you do message me there, I would direct you to my email anyhow. So email is definitely preferred.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I think that's a question that's coming up more and more, obviously, as we get further and further into the 21st century.
Yeah, but you're definitely right. It is a preference because I know DMs on Instagram is definitely becoming a way to communicate with people because you know people are there, right? But I do try to leave that for personal time and just being on Instagram, even though we use it for work as well, but try to draw
Yeah.
those boundaries.
It's funny, and not that you're asking, but I'm going to share with everyone. I have two Instagrams. So I have my personal Lexi, and then I have my work one. And I did that for boundaries. It wasn't even like a strategic marketing play. Maybe it could have been, should have been, but I too want boundaries in life. And so anytime someone adds me on my personal that I haven't actually met, or it's like a business, I'm like, no, go over to PR Bar that way.
That's so smart. I like that you have those two accounts. Yeah, the lines have definitely been blurred a little bit with, how you communicate with people. There are just so many ways to reach people. Email, Instagram, LinkedIn. But yeah, I definitely prefer email to help set those boundaries.
So, emails, do you care who the person pitching you is? Meaning, do you feel like if someone's pitching you, they have to be in the PR field? Can it be a founder? Do you prefer one to the other? Does it not matter? What is your general thoughts on that?
No, yeah, I would say it doesn't matter. I feel like I get a bunch of different types because we kind of touched more on the PR pitches that I receive, but I also receive pitches from writers or contributors. And yeah, I would say it doesn't matter. Or if a founder wanted to reach out directly, that would be fine too. Yeah.
No goes. Things that hit your inbox and you're like, why stop? Or you start, well, I twit.
Oh man, I would say that get my attention are the ones that are a bit personalized. Like it's really clear to me that they, whoever's sending the pitch, knows what CNC is, what we're all about, the type of content that we create, the founders that we feature, since it is kind of like, content created for and by women. Typically, we feature women in business. Not to say that we wouldn't feature a man, but just in general. Yeah, just the pitches that catch my eye really have a sense of what CNC is all about. And so I would say my pet peeves for I prefer really clear, concise pitches. So there's like a kind of specific reason that you're getting in touch. You're either pitching a particular founder or a particular story idea, and it's really clear what that is. So definitely prefer clear and concise, personalized kind of to CNC, you know what we are, what we do. So those are kind of like my preferred tips, pet peeves.
Well, opposite of that, I describe like not clear and concise, not relevant.
Yeah. I guess I went with the more positive spin, I suppose.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we can kind of infer the opposite as being, and not your favorite things. So our next or our last kind of preferential question. We're entering Q2. I'm curious what's on your radar in the next quarter or two. What would be helpful? What are you looking for? Are you looking for any unique or specific type of stories or connections that if someone's listening and they fit the bill, don't try to force fit people, would be helpful.
But looking ahead, I mean, really looking to lean a bit more into that finance category and a little bit more career building as well. I know, the pandemic has been so tough on so many professionals and building their careers. So really focusing on that serviceable content with helping people, manage your finances, build your career, start and manage your business, which are kind of evergreen topics for us at CNC. But yeah, I'd say that's kind of what we're looking ahead to.
Okay, and so kind of on that note, actually, I'd love to know, there's a few different types of people who listen to this podcast. We have, female entrepreneurs, we have those in the PR space, but we also have those in the media and journalism space as well. So I'd love to just hear, a piece of advice for those looking to pursue a career path similar to yours. Anything you'd like to offer or give out as advice?
Read as much as you can, always. Follow those writers who really love everything you read from their byline. Follow them on, social media platforms if they're really active on Twitter or if they have an Instagram that's kind of related to what they do. I would say look them up even on LinkedIn if you really admire them and want to follow their career path and see what they've done. That's kind of helped give me a picture too of building my own career. But reading everything you can is probably the most important thing, especially in topics that you're interested in covering and just really familiarizing yourself with the writers and editors who are in that space and the publications that are there, digging into publications' mastheads or about us page and looking up these writers that you admire and following them and consuming their work. Probably the number one thing that you can do as a writer is read.
I love that. It's great advice. So this is called the Pitchin' and Sippin' podcast. We talked pitchin'. Now we're going to talk sippin'. So what can we find you sippin'? Do you have a favorite beverage, either alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Well, in the alcoholic department, I would say I'm a big craft beer fan. Love a good sour in particular. But yeah, some of my kind of favorite breweries here in LA. I love the Three Weavers. It's like this woman-owned, woman-operated brewery in Inglewood. Crown and Hops, a great brewery as well. It's a like Black-owned brewery, and they're also based in Inglewood. I think that brand, they're gearing up to launch their like tap room, hopefully soon, I think this year. So those are a couple favorite breweries of the moment. But yes, craft beer is my alcoholic beverage of choice. And then a non-alcoholic beverage. I mean, I am like a big coffee drinker, but I also love a good Earl Grey tea too.
Okay. And I've never heard of those breweries, so that's exciting for me to hear. There's a new craft beer and sour and cider place opening near Dodger Stadium that I've been following. I don't like know them. Yeah, Benny Boy Brewing, Cider House Beer Garden Brewery. So, and I can send this to you on Instagram too. But that's one that's opening soon, and I'm really exciting. So for those in the LA area or, when life allows, are visiting LA, look up Three Beavers, Crowns and Hops, and hopefully Benny Boy Brewing.
Yeah, and they've actually done, it's one of the few places I've really been to during the pandemic when they've been opened under LA's guidelines, and they've done such a great job. They have extended their tasting room out onto like a patio area, and it's just really socially distant, really well organized. Their employees all like are outfitted with PPP, so you feel like they're, yeah, highly recommend.
Have you ever come and tried the brewery scene up here in Ventura County?
I haven't, no, but there are a few places that are kind of on my radar that I need to get to up there.
Highly suggest. We have quite a few breweries in and around the Ventura area and in Santa Barbara and in Camarillo. And so if you're ever wanting to do a quick day trip, let me know and I can give you some suggestions as well.
Yes, I will do. I know the day trip is definitely the travel method of choice these days. A day trip can make all the difference in changing your seen a little bit.
Megan, thank you so much again for coming on today's show. Before we kind of end things off, first, I'd love for you to tell people where they can learn more about Create and Cultivate, and then also if they want to connect with you, how they can go about doing that.
Oh yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm so flattered and honored that you thought of me for this. I'm always happy to share my knowledge and pay it forward. So if you want to find out more about Create and Cultivate, you can head to createcultivate.com, and then we're Create Cultivate on social platforms as well. And you can find me on Instagram mainly, and my handle is my name, Megan Beecham. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Hey guys, if you are enjoying the Pitchin' and Sippin' podcast, please do me a huge favor and leave a review wherever you are listening. If you want to connect with me to learn more about the PR Bar Inc., you can do so on Instagram at the PR Bar_Inc., or you can check out my website at theprbarinc.com. Cheers!